Good evening. It's great to see all of you out here today. The way I reckon things, it's been about 2 years since I was here before you last. And coincidentally, that was also for my high school graduation. And I still got fond memories from that as well. It was kind of surprising to me the other day when Guy Dickinson called me on the phone. He says, "Hey, Aaron, we got you scheduled to speak here at South Seminole." Okay. You do remember that this is the guy who spoke 2 years ago, Aaron Sword? May not have been the best job back then, but as many of you know, and some of you probably don't, I've been attending Fried Hardman University. One of the classes I've taken since I've been there is the preparation and delivery of a sermon. I'm not going to tell you the grade I made in that class. But one of the main points that the teacher emphasized was that I should know the audience. And while I do know many of you, there's still many of you that I do not know. So the way I figured, there's three kinds of people here in this room. I need to deliver a message for the three people in this room. The way I figure, there's the people that I do know, the people that I do know, but I kind of forget, and their faces are a little fuzzy. And then there's the people that I don't know yet. We've all heard the saying about there's two kinds of people in the world. But the Bible tells us this one case of four kinds of people in the world. And that's the kind of people that I'd like to look at today. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 13. That's where we'll be taking our text. Jesus, as we read in this parable, describes four kinds of soils that the word is spread to. I'd like to look at each of these in depth. So let's start with a wayside soil. Matthew 13, 3 and 4. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them." How many of you here today are not Christians? I don't need a show of hands, just I want you to keep that in mind. This is you. The soil that is by the wayside is the person who has heard the word, but doesn't feel the urgency, doesn't see the need to act upon it. This is not a Christian. This is a person who is outside of Christ. And as we can see through the birds, if nothing is done immediately upon the planting of the word, Satan will create something, a distraction, an event, something that will remove the thought from our hearts. It's very urgent that when we hear the gospel outside of Christ, we need to be willing to act on it while we still have a desire in our hearts. If this is the case with you, I would encourage you, act while the seed is in your heart. But don't be pulling out your songbooks. This isn't the end of the lesson. This also applies, however, to Christians. And think about it. Well, actually, first, read verse 19, and then we'll think about it. In verse 19, he gives us a little bit more of an explanation. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is that which is the seed received by the wayside." Did you notice that? The person who hears the word but doesn't understand it. Again, to those of you who are outside of Christ, if you do not understand some concept, I would encourage you, study the word, ask questions. The Bible has the answers that we need to look to. But as I was saying, this has an application towards Christians as well. The word needs to be understood. It seems to me that in today's society, there's such great emphasis placed among denominations about we need this teacher with a PhD and who can speak words eloquently and use words good. And it seems to me that sort of ideology is creeping into the church sometimes, where we need to have these people who can speak at a professor level. And I think that's sometimes the image that a lot of non-Christians have. They see the church as this place filled with all these white-haired old men who've studied the Word of God and can tell you what can be said in one sentence in about 1,000 sentences. They could give you a dissertation on the topic. While it's important that we do have Bible scholars, and while I understand why we use quote-unquote church speak, because let's face it, you're not going to say, "So, how was the preacher's sales pitch when he advertised the Word of God today?" It might be a little understandable to the common person, but I understand why you have such a need. As I said, people study the gospel all their lives, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if they're always studying the things about the Word and never studying the Word, then they're not going to communicate the gospel very well. Jesus, when he taught others, he had this very interesting pattern of speaking. He spoke in simple folk languages. The story about the parable of the sower. Everyone knows what a farmer was back then. He didn't use these grandiose illustrations and stuff. That's why we need to be very careful in how we present the gospel. We can present it in a way that only those who have took advanced reading and advanced studies can learn, or we can present the message in its simple and pure form. That's something that I think that we need to get back to. Otherwise, we'll put up these barriers that will prevent people from seeing the need for the gospel in their lives. And it's not simply the case that we must speak in baby tones to people. We need to have a balance. Peter and Paul. Peter was a simple fisherman. Paul was this advanced scholar. Peter writes that he had trouble understanding the words that Paul wrote, but there was still a need for them. Paul himself wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 22, but I'll just skip to 22. He says, "I have made all things to all people that I might save some." We need to preach the gospel in a way that people can understand and that shows them respect so that the word can take root. Second soil that we're going to look at, the stony soil. Verses 5 and 6. "Some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." The verses explain a little more in 20 and 21. "But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended." I'm reminded of Mark in this situation. When Paul and Barnabas went on their mission trip, they took with them a man named Mark. And he stuck with them for a while. As the verse says, they stick around for a little while. But eventually, for some reason, it's not made clear in the text why, he left. Now, thankfully for Mark, he later came back. But for me, this type of person seems most reminiscent of new Christians. People who, when they first become Christians, they have this strong burning fire in their hearts for doing the Lord's work. But after a time, it sort of just dies out. And these people are usually one of the first to fall away. Back in Ukraine, there was this event that my father affectionately likes to refer to as the love bomb. This is where these congregations organized a big mission campaign for about 2 weeks. They invited people from everywhere, doesn't matter whether they're of the Church of Christ or not, denomination or not, they came anyways. So for 2 weeks, they came to Ukraine, and they dropped this big love bomb. All you need is love. You need to be baptized. Have love for Jesus. And it converted a lot of people. But after the 2 weeks were up, and the missionaries went back, You had all these young Christians who had no one left to teach them. They had no idea what they were doing. And the number of converts that fell away was so dramatic that the amount of people left over was almost minimal. What is it about these Christians that they don't stick around when the persecution starts to arise? The Bible says that it's the fact that they're not well-rooted. They don't understand. They don't know. New Christians are like babies in Christ. They need to be cared for because they're immature and they lack understanding. A lot of situations I know of where a person first becomes a Christian, he's still going to drink, he's still going to curse. Because while we are called to change, and some people do make a good effort, not all the bad stuff is going away the first week that a person is a Christian, nor the first month, not even the first year. It's going to take a lot of time. What should they be doing in that time? They need to be studying the Word, growing in understanding, and learning more about what they need to do and who they need to become. And for a lot of people, they stick with the basic stuff, you know, hear, believe, repent, but they never get beyond that point. They stay as babies. Paul says that when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. There comes a point in every person's life that they need to step up, that they need to get to the meatier matters of the Scripture. They need to get beyond the basics. If we do not grow, we grow complacent. And if we become complacent, it won't be long before we fall away. Usually, whenever trouble first shows its ugly head. Third type of soil I'd like to talk to you about is the thorny soil. Verse 7, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. What does it mean? Look to verse 22. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world, and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is the person in the church who cares for worldly things. He's different from the wayside soil because he has become a Christian. He's accepted the word. He's different from the stony soil because while he still sticks around after there's some persecution like the stony soil, the difference is that he doesn't immediately fall away. He stays in the church. Whether or not he faces persecution, doesn't matter. He's still there. But he's wrapped up in the affairs of the world. This is the teenager who likes to surf Facebook during services. I'm not sure how big of a problem that is here, but at Fried Hardman, it's a very big problem. This is the father who puts his career instead of helping out with the church. This is the mother who makes luncheons instead of going to Wednesday night services. These are the parents who will not take their kids to a gospel meeting because it's a school night. This is the Christian who refuses to give to the benevolence to help other people because he wants to wait until he gets super rich and he can do all kinds of good works for the Lord. Something that you might have noticed, these Christians are described as being unfruitful. They're still in the church, but they're not doing anything to produce any good signs, any good works. This is something that very many people are guilty of. I've been familiar with Americanisms. I believe the proper term for this is the bench warmer or pew people, pew packers. Still working on it. This is something that a lot of people are guilty of, but Paul tells us that we should not associate with such people. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Read verses 6 through 11. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For you yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we may not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk disorderly among you, not working at all, but are busybodies. Interesting point right here. Those who walk disorderly and aren't working, it says that they were the busybodies. Does that sound like anyone you know? Those people in the church who won't do any work themselves whenever it's a work day, or they won't even stick around to clean the building. But they can tell you, oh, this is what's wrong. You know, the chairs aren't exactly positioned the way I want. Oh, you missed a spot. The people who can tell you how to do your job but aren't doing anything themselves. That's just an interesting point I thought I would point out. But anyways, continuing on further, 12 and 13. Now them that are such, command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. This particular soil, while it is different from the stony soil, it has a lot of similarities. You know, it describes Christians that once held a passion in their hearts to do the Lord's work, but the affairs of the world choke it out. They become cold, like people trapped in a loveless marriage, like people who are going through a midlife crisis where they don't like who they are. They want to change. They want to spice up their lives before they're dead, fill out their bucket list. Like people who are addicted. They get rid of their important relationships, and they seek out unhealthy ones. There's too many brethren that I know that have given up on the race, and they don't run it anymore. They just jog in place to look like they're running. But is there any hope for such bad soil? Is there anything that we can do to change people who they fundamentally are? The good news is yes. The weeded garden can be removed. The weeds can be removed. The soil that is unhealthy can be tilled to turn over the good soil. It's going to take a lot of work, but people can become the good soil. How is it the case? Let's now look to the good soil. In Matthew 13:8, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now read verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which bears fruit and brings forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Something interesting that I think gets overlooked a little. Did you see the amount of fruit that's produced? It says there's different amounts. Some produce 100-fold, some 60, some 30. What does this mean? In case you haven't picked up on it, fruits in this case means works, godly works. Everyone in the church has different roles. The people that sang, the people that read the scripture, people that gave the Lord's Supper, people that prepared the food, people that cleaned up after the food. I know that's some of the harder work. People that close and lock up the building. They're all works that contribute to the Lord's work. But sometimes they don't get recognized as much. But the Lord says it's a good work that you're doing. You remember the story when Jesus went to a fig tree and he couldn't find any figs. And so he left and he came back at a later time. And he came to the same fig tree and it still didn't have any fruit. You remember what he did? He cursed it. And why? Because it looked like it was a healthy fig tree, but it wasn't producing any godly fruit. As Christians, become older in their walk with God, it should become apparent the good works that they do. But not all people make the transition as smoothly as they should. Some people don't make the transition at all. Remember what I said about those spiritual babes? Referring back to the people who have just become Christians? Some people don't get beyond that. In Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, the writer of Hebrews says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time comes that ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We need to be getting off of the milk and onto the meat, onto the stronger subjects of the word. This is how we become the good soil. We need to receive the word. We need to understand it. We need to grow in our knowledge and understanding, and we need to show the fruit of our good labor. One labor that I like to encourage all people to do is that of teaching. Sorry about that. In the ancient days, they didn't have a school system, and I know Jeffrey was telling me all about that earlier, but they had this system where if you wanted to learn a skill, you would simply work as an apprentice under the person. That was how you learn the skill. You learn from a person who is going to be your teacher. We need to be teachers, teaching people the skills that we have, helping them to grow in the Lord's work. Whether it's a coworker that you sometimes eat lunch with at work, you could just point them to the scripture. Whether it's organizing an evangelistic campaign, hopefully not another love bomb unless there's some follow-up work, it's a good way. You can just point people to the scripture. The Bible is simple. People take a look at it, and to many people, they're a little worried about it, but if you actually read it, you can read some interesting stories. Hey, there's this David dude. Hey, he seems like a good guy. He committed adultery. Whoa. What's he do? He repents of it. People can understand that. All things that pertain to life and godliness can be found in this book. There is nothing new under the sun. It may take a different form, but it's all basically the same thing. We need to show people the scriptures. Something that, well, I'm not a farmer, so I don't have firsthand experience, but something I've learned is that in the life cycle of any plant comes reproduction, the pollination process. It's important for the plant to live that it continues to spread its seed. If we're going to be the soil that produces the word of the Lord, we need to be spreading it to other people. And I think that we should have the same attitude that Paul had in Philippians 3:14. "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." So if there's a person today who has not obeyed the gospel, you could fall under the category of the stony soil. If there's someone here who is, if you've not been growing, you could be the stony soil. If you've heard the word but have not acted on it, you're the wayside soil. If you've been in the services for a long time, but you find that the affairs of daily life and being busy has taken away, you could be the thorny soil. It's not too late to change. As I said, the soil can be renewed. We need to be growing, though. We need to study the scriptures, produce good works, and help others to join the Lord's work. If there's someone here who's not been bearing fruit, you know who you are. It doesn't need to be me providing some sort of scale thing. Well, am I on this? Am I in the upside? Am I in the good side? You know. You know who you are. If there's a need that you have, I'm more than positive that the people here are willing to help you. It's not just the preacher's job that the word needs to be spread. If you know that you've not been doing a good job and doing that, you can still change and you can do a better job. I know that you pay the preacher to do all the evangelism, but that's not solely his job. If you've not been bearing fruit, then now is the time to act. Get your life in order. If there's someone here who has a need to repent, please come forward now as we stand and sing.